We'll do it live. Okay. Fucking thing. No. We'll do it live. Fuck.
Welcome to episode 123 of the Ron and Brian podcast. I'm Ron, as always, joined by the man who does a hair toss, checks his nails, and wants to know how you feeling. Brian, welcome back to another episode of the Ron and Brian podcast. How are you this week, sir? Sorry to interrupt your phone situation there, but how are you?
Ron, I'm doing amazing. You know, I don't know whether you realize this, but I've been prepping for Armageddon.
Have you?
I feel that as the second wave that people keep talking about is soon upon us, I feel that I'm uniquely positioned to survive.
Yeah, have you been watching like those doomsday prepper shows?
No, those people freak me out because they were prepping for Y2K. which was literally a computer glitch between two digits and four digits. So they lost all credibility in my book.
All right, fair enough. Well, let's get things rolling this week, obviously, with some drinking.
Drink of the week.
На здоровье.
Salud.
Drink of the week.
Sláinte.
Drink of the week. Drink of the week.
Brian, what did you bring to the table or to the desk, as it were, for your drink of the week?
Well, fresh from New Jersey, my third worst favorite state, I've got from Carton Brewery, Monkey Chase the Weasel, which is a wheat slash sour ale.
Interesting. Have you had this before? Or is this a new one for you?
It is a fucking delicious beer.
Nice.
It's got the got the wheaty flavor.
Okay.
And yet at the same time, it's got this sour undertone that really just grabs your balls and gives them a nice little squeeze.
Gives them a nice little tug, just the way you like it.
Yeah, absolutely. This is I've had this beer before. Was on Tap Room earlier this month. Saw that it was listed there. Bought myself a 4-pack.
All right.
How about you, Ron? What do you got?
You know what? Again, this may sound repetitive, but I went back to our friends at Broken Goblet Brewing in Bensalem, Pennsylvania. One of their newer releases, they redid one of their flagship beers, their original oatmeal stout. They redid the formula, canned it, put it on nitro. This is now called Noise Reduction. And take a look at that. It's got great body on it. Nice little head on there. Clocking in at 7.4%.
That beer is actually the color of your hair.
Oh, my God. That's good.
Oh, look at that. Look at that.
Smooth. That's pretty. A little sweeter than its predecessor. I'm giving that a couple thumbs up.
My question to you is, does that have lactose added to it?
No lactose. The creaminess is all coming from that nitrogen in the can.
I am calling lies because we know how much you enjoy a lactose-infused beverage.
I do enjoy it. Shall we let the listeners in on a little inside information that you were down for a visit this past weekend, and we got to go
out. I was.
To see the good folks at Broken Goblet, pulled out some chairs, sat in the parking lot since the inside was full, and tossed back a few beers.
Yeah, it was nice to be back there. I hadn't been there in probably about a year and a half or so. It's nice to see they're still there. And we were talking while enjoying some of their beverages. We had a nice long talk about how they have created a community of fans. And it's not just beer connoisseurs. It's not beer drinkers. But it's beyond it. It is people that will go out of their way to, go to the brewery to pick up beer to take home. It's, you know, you hear Broken Goblet releasing a new beer. and it's, oh, let me, I'm going to, they have my interest. We're putting out glasses or t-shirts and people are ordering them. There's a fandom that they have created amongst a certain populace and certain podcasts.
Makes you a little jealous, but for those of you fans out there that would like to get closer to Ron and Brian or get some of our great swag, you can become a member of our Patreon by going to ronandbrianpodcast.com. In the upper right-hand corner, click on Become a Patron. A lot of different levels. You can get we got the stickers, the magnets, the baseball caps, the shot glasses. Brian can slow jam a voicemail message or other message for you. And of course, you can get access to the After Dark Live that'll be occurring right after this podcast.
We also have face masks.
Face masks on the web store.
And I know that, you know, if you are watching the news and you are seeing Donald Trump's speeches about it, you understand, you know what, maybe I don't need to keep wearing my mask. Maybe, you know, it's not helping. I'm a child. I don't have the receptors. So what's the point of a mask? Like, you know what? Maybe you just buy a mask this way. Support the podcast. Go to our website. Click on the merch button at the top and order some stuff from us.
All right.
Keep in mind, the money you're giving does not go into my pocket, does not go into Ron's pocket. We reinvest it into the show, constantly improving, always getting better.
There we go. All right, let's roll on now with some
This
Week in Racism.
Racism.
Thankfully, somewhat of a light week. Only a few stories to tell. We're going up to New Hampshire. State Representative James Spillane posted on his Facebook page, quote, "If you see a Black Lives Matter sign on a lawn, it's the same as having a porch light on at Halloween. Feel free to burn and loot that house." Spillane deleted the post from his page, but the DOJ's Civil Rights Unit has confirmed that they have received multiple complaints about it. House Speaker Steve Shurtleff said that the post was a, quote, "incitement of violence that put the lives of Granite Staters in jeopardy," and called for Spillane's resignation. Spillane, a Republican that is up for re-election this year, has yet to comment or apologize for the post. Spillane has made news in the past. In 2010, he was convicted for DUI and reckless conduct, and then again in 2018 for driving with an open container. Good to see that he learned his lesson from the first conviction. Going over to Cincinnati, the University of Cincinnati has opened an investigation into an adjunct instructor that sent an email to a student referring to COVID-19 as the Chinese virus. Student Evan Satzing has sent an email to Professor John Ucker informing him that he would need to miss an in-person lab because he needed to self-quarantine for 14 days after his girlfriend tested positive for coronavirus. Ucker responded to the email stating, "For students testing positive for the Chinese virus, I will give no grade." Ucker has been placed on administrative leave with pay while the university investigates. Always good to send that in an email so you have some...
You want everything to be documented.
You want
what I always like. I like the suspension with pay move.
Yeah.
Because it is a fine line between trying to figure out how can I get out of having to go to work, but still get paid because I don't want to lose money, but you don't want to push it too far that you get suspended without pay.
Well, I will say this, in this particular instance, this is apparently part of the contract that the professor, that the union has with the school for these type of situations. You automatically go on leave with pay when an investigation like this goes on. It's a pretty sweet deal to arrange.
Yeah, I want to get suspended with pay.
I mean, we'll work on that. I feel you actually have done something that would require that.
You actually have the opposite problem, which is you're actually doing some work, but you're not getting any pay for it. So, because you are underemployed.
Yes, exactly. Thank you.
And if you had 9 minutes and 38 seconds into the show before Brian makes his first reference to Ron not having a job, you win the prize.
Well, let's go to Monona, Wisconsin. A black man who was handcuffed in his home at gunpoint after Monona police responded to a neighbor's call about a black man on a porch has filed a civil lawsuit against the city and the two officers involved. Keontae Furge had just moved into his high school football coach's mother's house after the mother had passed away, and the coach said Furge could stay there for 2 months. A woman unfamiliar with the arrangement called the police when she saw Furge sitting on the front patio. Furge had gone inside by the time officers arrived. Officer Jared Wettig and Luke Wunsch entered the home without knocking or announcing their presence, trying to contact the owner or obtaining a warrant. They entered with guns drawn, shouting, "Police, come out with your hands up." Furge was handcuffed until other officers arrived and spoke with neighbors that knew that Furge had permission to be there. Wettig and Wunsch released Furge saying, quote, "Sorry to ruffle your feathers this morning." Our bad. I mean, in their on the plus side, they didn't kill him. So I guess maybe some of that de-escalation training is working.
I don't know about that.
A little bit. Oh, and one more story here.
Racism rewind.
Going back to last week, we had a story that we covered of a woman who was videoed throwing a bottle at a jogger and using the N-word towards her. She was identified and arrested on Monday. Lorena De Laguna, 53, was arrested at her home and charged with attempted assault and aggravated assault as a hate crime, and was taken to Queens Central Booking for arraignment.
So Queens, all day.
Thank you for working hard and identifying a racist again.
Now, my question to you is this. How do you get charged with attempted assault and also aggravated assault?
That I don't know.
Because it seems like you tried doing it or you did it. Like, if you did it successfully, that's the charge.
I feel that maybe the throwing of the bottle is the attempted assault, and the aggravated assault is using the N-word, because words hurt, Brian.
So you're telling me that me throwing a glass bottle at somebody is less of a crime than using the N-word?
Brian, you are assuming I have any idea what I'm talking about.
Ron, I assume that you know everything about just about everything.
I sound like I do. And I feel that is a true skill. You would be amazed at how much I say that sounds right. That is actual total bullshit.
Okay. All right.
Everything, you should always fact check me.
No, I do not. You are the fact check.
Oof. That's a scary place to be, my friend.
Sorry.
All right. Let's air the beefs.
And Brian's Beef of the Week.
All right, Brian, what's bothering you this week?
Beef of the Week right here. Okay. Syracuse University.
What did Syracuse do that's bothering you?
They manufactured shoddy lawn chairs.
Well, I don't know if you can blame the university on that one. I think you can probably blame me for just throwing in the garage for a number of years. But please, air your beef for our listeners.
All right. So this past weekend, as Ron alluded earlier, we went to Broken Goblet Brewery. And what we decided we were going to do was bring lawn chairs and sit in the back of the brewery and have a couple beers. So Ron goes into his garage, pulls out three chairs. Two seem to be, from a quick visual check, part of some type of set. They were matching chairs, if you would. There was a third chair, bright orange, with a large S on the seat, which sure looked like it was a Syracuse University logo, which you later verified for me was from Syracuse, upstate New York.
Correct.
So as Ron is opening up the chair for me to sit down on, he realizes that the leg of the chair is broken. So I look at it. I'm like, I don't think I can sit in that thing. Ron's actual advice to me was, well, just sit gently.
No, I said gingerly. I said just gingerly. Sit gingerly. Because I felt like if I thought it was just the back leg at the time, and if we could get the back leg into the holder and you sat down, it would hold together.
But this was not the case, my friend. This was not the case.
Not the case, no.
Three of the four legs were broken in half.
Yeah, there
was no way you were going to put any weight on this chair. And yet Ron's approach was, well, just sit gingerly on it.
Listen, when you own 51% of the podcast, you can direct other people as you wish. But yeah, that was my bad. So, and I'll make sure next time we have a working chair for you.
I appreciate that. Next time I'll bring my own. But the lesson learned here is that Syracuse University, they licensed their name out to garbage products.
I think, you know, if we've learned something, not only should you check your calendars, you always need to check your chairs as well. And that's just safe tailgating.
I've gotten better with my calendar. Even you can acknowledge that.
I do. I have to admit.
I just need to get better with my chairs.
Well, we'll work on that. Baby steps. So, Brian, I'm going to let you decide which of my beefs you want to hear, because I feel one beef may lead into a larger story that we're talking about later on. I have a small beef. I've got a big beef. My small beef is with small companies that build websites that don't work versus my beef towards people who voted for third-party candidates or didn't vote in 2016.
All right. We are absolutely going to listen to the small beef because we're going to hear the big beef when we are talking later on in the show.
Fair enough.
I feel this way, I get two for one.
There you go.
Which normally you have to pay extra for.
Normally that's extra. Normally you got to go to the ATM. You got to take out like $900 for that to happen. Do not need to have that happen here tonight. And 17 minutes in, we have referenced Brian losing $900 to the strip club. Yet again, if you had that on your Ron and Brian bingo card, fill in that square. Anyway.
I didn't actually lose the $900. Man, I know exactly where it went. It went into this woman's hands. Some went into that woman's hands. She got a little bit.
So you were supporting a lot of people. That's very admirable.
Yes.
Anyway, so, you know, obviously during these times, we try and support small businesses when we can. But ideally, I love a small business that does not require me to pick up the phone and talk to them, because I just don't want to talk to people. I used to think, like back in the day, I used to think that I didn't like talking on the phone because I did sales and I was talking to people all day. Now I have come to realize that I just don't like people and just don't want to talk to people.
Understood. Well, do you also think that part of that that place where you're at right now has a lot to do with the fact that you have spent a lot of time at home during this pandemic with just your wife?
I don't know. You would think that would be the opposite. Like, you would think if you're home, you're not really talking to a lot of people, you would want to talk to more people. I've gone the opposite direction. I want to talk to fewer people, which makes this whole podcast just ironic, but.
It's fine.
Beside the point. So anyway, need to get our boiler checked out before we fire it up each year. We turned it on a couple of years ago, nearly killed us. Small little thing. So each year we have it checked out now to make sure it should still be functioning. So I go on this HVAC company's website that we have used before, and it says, "Hey, you can call or click here to schedule an appointment online." And I'm like, fucking fantastic, because now I don't have to call. So I click. Yes. It looks like we've got open availability. So I select the date, I select the time, and I'm like, boom, get a confirmation from the website. Your message has been received. Your appointment is confirmed.
Great. Right.
Fantastic. So the day and the time comes, and nobody shows up. And so I call in and I'm like, I should have an appointment today. They're like, why do you think you have an appointment? I'm like, I did it on your website. Oh yeah, no, that doesn't work. I'm like, don't you even get, they're like, no, we don't even get the message when you use that part of the site. We probably should take that down. But yeah, that just doesn't
work. Wow.
I'm like, well, can somebody come out? We could probably get out there in 3 or 4 weeks. So yeah.
Weeks?
So, yeah. Well, again, we're getting into cold weather. I get that, you know, a lot of people are having their shit done. But yeah, so that's my beef.
So the question now is, have you looked for somebody else to come out?
I had to actually call around, which just pained me completely. And I have somebody coming on Monday to take care of it.
Okay.
So good.
Have you thought of hiring an assistant?
Possibly. I will look into it. Billy feels there should be a Ron and Brian bingo card. So maybe we will work on putting one of those together and getting those up on social media so you all can play along for after.
Sure.
No prizes whatsoever.
I'm okay with that. Speaking of that, I do, if you don't mind, would like to congratulate you for a moment.
For what, Brian?
Second week of NFL.
Oh.
2-0 in your locks of the week.
Are we talking locks of the week already? All right. Hit it up. How'd we do last week, my friend?
Well, you went 2-0. You saw that the Chiefs were laying 8.5 against the Chargers. Remembered that LA always puts Kansas City to the test. So you went with the Chargers getting the 8.5 points. Chiefs win only by 23-20. So that was your first lock of the week. Second one, you saw that the Seahawks were laying only 3.5 to the Patriots. Went with the Seahawks, won that game 35-30. You are now off to a 4-0 start.
Well, I mean, if I might say, congratulations to you as well. You also went 2-0 this week. You were looking at Minnesota going into Indianapolis. Indy was only a 3-point favorite. You were like, I got to take that because it's Indy all day long. Indy rolls 28-11. And then Pittsburgh was favored by a touchdown. You were like, against Denver, you're like, I don't think it's going to be that big of a win. You picked it right. Pittsburgh wins by 5, 26-21. So congrats yet again. Both of us starting off 4-0.
We'll take 4-0. If you, I'm not necessarily a gambler by nature, but I'm saying that the picks that we have issued, if you were to have bet on all of them, that is 8 consecutive winners so far this season. You could have really pocketed some very interesting cash. Listen, as opposed to Ron's stock lock of the week from a couple months ago when he said to us, hey, Pacific Drilling is at $1 a share. Buy now. Where's that number? How's Pacific Drilling doing right now?
I believe they closed around 24 cents a share today, but they are primed for a comeback. But regardless, during this pandemic, you know, people need to find a way to make money. And we feel wagering heavily on our locks of the week is a good way to do so. Brian, who do you like this coming weekend?
This week, I like Indianapolis against the Jets. Colts are favored by 11.5. Should be absolutely no problem. And then I think that New England missing Tom Brady's efforts. Chad Newsom is not a replacement. I'm going with the Raiders getting 5.5 against the Patriots.
It really is a week of respect for some, I think. I mean, the Raiders 2-0 going in against the Patriots at 1-1 going in as the underdogs. My first pick, I was shocked to see this. Chicago 2-0 going into Atlanta 0-2, and Atlanta is favored by 3 points. So I am taking the Bears getting 3 all day long.
All day long.
And then Seattle, again, going with the Cowboys. Cowboys got very lucky against those Falcons this weekend. Seattle is favored at home by 4.5. And I feel like that's going to be a big win for them. Excellent question from Billy asking, is Ron doing better with stock picks than Brian is with his death pool picks? So we're 24 minutes in before we crack on, Brian, with the death pool, if you had that. But yes, I actually, even though I'm doing very poorly with my stock picks, still doing better than Brian with his death pool picks.
Yep.
Speaking of Brian,
this is really hitting home. It's feeling personal. It's definitely feeling personal.
It's a tough room. So also some wagers that we made a couple weeks back, we had bet on Dancing with the Stars, things that were going to happen over the season. We had our first result on Tuesday night, the first elimination, which we both picked would be Charles Oakley. The bottom two were Charles Oakley and that bitch, Carole Baskin. I've clarified how it works because I didn't really understand how the voting and judging worked. So the fans vote for the bottom two, and then the three judges decide which of the bottom two stick around. So they decide out of the two worst who gets eliminated. So in a 2-1 judges decision, that bitch Carole Baskin sticks around. Charles Oakley is the first dancer eliminated.
Really?
Not surprising at all.
Okay.
And then Carole Baskin, I think, had either the worst or second worst score this week. So I'm sure she will be potentially leaving again. But I think the judges are being told to keep her around as long as possible because I'm sure she's bringing eyeballs to the show right now.
I think so.
You know who is a surprisingly good dancer so far? Nev Schulman from Catfish.
Is he?
Apparently he's been one of the high scorers so far, and Johnny Weir underperforming for somebody who is our pick. Both of us, we picked him to win the whole damn thing, has been underperforming a bit.
Hey, interesting. Very interesting.
That's all I got for Dancing with the Stars this week.
Now here's my real question. Are you watching the show or
I look for a recap afterwards.
Okay. It's kind of like cheating, but we'll let it slide.
You want me to watch the show, Brian?
I don't know that I've ever watched more than 5 minutes.
Right. It's painful.
Combined.
Absolutely painful.
It's terrible. It's absolutely terrible.
And without Tom Bergeron, I don't know how people watch it.
Now, he's the guy from America's Funniest Home Videos, correct? Yeah.
Prior to Alfonso Ribeiro.
Prior to Dave Saget.
Bob Saget did it originally, and then I think Tom Bergeron took it over, and then Alfonso Ribeiro took it over. Carlton from Fresh Prince.
Got it. Always
gonna be
That show's unwatchable, and it always has been.
You're not a fan of kids hitting their parents in the nuts with a wiffle ball bat?
Oh, nope. It's not good because they're never that good.
All right. I mean, I guess if you don't like joy and laughter, fine. Whatever, Brian.
I think anybody who has watched this program knows that I am not a fan of laughter.
Hey-o.
Ha.
Good thing you said it because I'm sure it would have come up in the comments section momentarily.
I know.
All right. What else are we talking about this week, Brian? What happened over the past week? Another relatively quiet week in our country.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's are we jumping to celebrity obituaries?
We can. We can definitely go into
this one. Hurt. This one hurt. This one literally had. When a powerful woman passes away in America, a woman that blazed the trail for all women that followed her, the effect ripples throughout all layers of society.
This kind of week, when you heard the news, I mean, you knew it was coming eventually, but you still were not prepared. It was a gut punch when you heard the news.
When Jackie Stallone, mother of Sylvester Stallone, was announced that she had passed away this week at the age of 98, I think the nation collectively shed tears. You thought she was going to live forever.
You did, literally.
Yes.
I will say the New York Post put up a picture of her at the premieres of The Expendables 3 when she was 92 years old. Going to go out on a limb and say that she had a little bit of work done.
You think? No.
She don't look a day over 80. I'll give her that much.
She doesn't look a day over Silicon.
I just remember when she used to be on, like her and Frank would go on Howard Stern back in the day and just embarrassingly tell Sylvester Stallone stories.
Well, the thing was that was when Stern was still funny. Because and let me rephrase it. He may be funny now. I've not listened to the show in years. But what was funny about the show was the fact that he had been shunned by A-list Hollywood celebrities. So he literally was picking up C-level celebrities and would get them on the show. So when he would get Jackie Stallone to come on, that was a big get for him at the time.
Oh yeah, without a doubt.
Now everybody wants to go on that show, and he just sucks up to them. It's not funny anymore.
No. Who else did we lose this week, Brian?
Oh. This one, yeah, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get through this one.
Keep it together. You can do this. You have strength.
Road Warrior Animal.
Mm.
WWE Hall of Famer. Let's see if I can pronounce this name correctly. Joe
Laurinaitis.
What was that again?
Laurinaitis, I believe.
Close enough. Passed away at the early age of 60. Part of the Hall of Fame tag team, the Road Warriors, who were quite big in the 80s and 90s.
One of the, if not the greatest tag team of all times, I believe the only tag team to hold the NWA, AWA, and WWF tag team championships.
There was one tag team that I will say goes down as the best tag team ever. And that was when you and I took down that Denny's waitress back in, I think it was 93. We stayed until closing. She came and asked if we wanted any cream in our coffee. And I said to her, are you sure you don't want any cream? And things got a little crazy after that.
I mean, she said, do you want the bottomless cup of coffee? And Brian says, I'm always on bottom. And I never knew what that meant. To this day, still don't know what it means. Who else passed away this week, Brian? Oh, legendary, speaking of NFL, legendary Bears running back Gale Sayers, dead at age 77.
Lived a long life. Hate to see another great one go down from COVID.
Let's see who else. Oh, James Bond villain Hugo Drax, otherwise known as actor Michael Lonsdale, dead at the age of 89.
Moonraker, one of my favorite James Bond movies.
And
he also was in why would I bring it up if I don't remember it? What was the movie about the Israeli hit squads that went after the Palestinian terrorists with Eric Bana?
Yeah, drawing a blank on that one. I know the movie, just can't tell you. Munich. What was it?
Munich. That's what it is. Couldn't remember it. Munich is a great, it's one of my favorite movies, and not just because it's Jews killing people. Lonsdale had a nice role in that as well. And that pretty much is all the deaths that there were this week.
No, we do have one more, one very important. And again, you know, you kind of expect it when someone gets up to be this age. But just a tragedy. Tommy DeVito, original Four Seasons member, passing away at the age of 92 from complications of COVID-19. So just one of the, well, we did set a record this week. We broke the 200,000 death milestone in this country. Yes. Tommy DeVito, one of those 200,000 now. It's a shame.
Up there in heaven. And that's it. Those are the only important people that died this week.
No, Brian. One more. And this one did hurt. This was literally a gut punch. One that took it out of me when I saw that. Ruth Bader Ginsburg passing away finally at the age of, was it 87?
Honestly, when I heard she died, I literally sat there and was just so stunned at the realization that my worst fear was coming true. Like, I literally was not afraid of 200,000 COVID deaths. I knew it was going to happen. I knew we were going to handle it. But RBG being taken out, it has set off shockwaves in America. The future of the country right now is in it has been thrown up. Literally, I'm almost speechless. Basically the idea is that the Supreme Court, with Ruth Bader on the Supreme Court was a 5-4 conservative majority with a Republican president, Donald Trump, currently in the White House, who has the undisputed ability to nominate her replacement. We are looking potentially at a 6-3 conservative liberal split in the Supreme Court. And the court cases that suddenly now seem to be up in the air, abortion, LGBTQ rights,
healthcare, Affordable Care Act. You know, what was interesting to me is right after the passing of RBG, you know, people were like, well, what is Mitch McConnell going to do? You know, because obviously he set a tone back in 2016 where he refused to consider the nomination of Merrick Garland to the Supreme Court because there was 237 days to Election Day. So he had created what became known as the Garland rule. And people were like, well, obviously he has already set this precedent in 2016. So, of course, he will probably hold to it now. And of course, within hours of her passing, he acknowledged that, now the game is different. And I will come up with some bullshit reason as to why we will move forward with 43 days prior to it. We had hoped that there would be enough GOP Congress people that would have.
There's not. There's absolutely not.
There's not. Very disappointing. Going back to my bigger beef of the week is we are in a situation and I talked about, you know, the people in 2016 that, you know, did their quote unquote protest votes by either not voting or voting for a third party candidate. And you really saw how it swung states like Wisconsin. I think Trump only won that state by 11,000 votes. Pennsylvania. Right. I mean, if you look at the votes that went for Jill Stein, and I believe Gary Johnson was the other candidate back in 2016, there were three states that had those votes, you know, potentially swung to Hillary Clinton. She could have won, would have changed everything. So if you are a fan of the protest vote, I guess it's a good thing that you're a fan of protesting, because you will need to protest moving forward just for people to keep their rights to be healthy, their rights to marry the people that they love, their rights to have control over their bodies.
The other thing for me on this one is just how you realize the importance of not just voting for president, but for voting for all elected leaders. If you look at the state of the country that we are in right now, none of this would be possible if we had a Senate that stood up for their beliefs. I mean, we literally have Lindsey Graham and Mitch McConnell in the Senate already announcing that they will have the full support of the Senate Judiciary Committee, and the Senate Republicans will automatically be supporting whomever it is that Donald Trump nominates.
Right.
And I've never seen during my lifetime a branch of the government here talking about the legislative literally refusing their role as a check on the power of the executive branch. Like, literally, and it just so happens that we've got one of the largest narcissist presidents that I can think of. And there have been worse presidents. There have been racist, like, he's not the absolute worst. It's just not happening. But it's the fact that there's absolutely nothing stopping him, because the Republicans in the Senate will literally do whatever it is that he wants them to, so long as he continues to promote their agenda.
Right. I mean, even down to, you know, the transition of power, you know, it's hard to know where the Senate is going to fall. Again, you should have checks and balances, but as we saw in the days after RBG's passing, you know, his real game plan is to stack the Supreme Court deck, because he plans on challenging every election result possible if he does not win.
But if you follow And I'm sure you've read Rage by Bob Woodward, the book that came out last week on the Trump administration. One of the, which apparently I'm about halfway done.
I read it in a night, just like.
Not to brag. But one of the things that it says in there is that in 2016, McConnell went to Trump and basically said, we will back you unconditionally so long as you aggressively nominate judges.
Right.
And you nominate the judges that we want you to, that we have pre-approved. I mean, the idea was that they wanted to not just at the Supreme Court level, but in all federal court and all the different types, that they wanted to put conservative leaning and openly conservative judges so that as laws are put into place, that judges are not necessarily going to be in an objective perspective while looking at it. The danger here that we're looking at is that Trump has almost certainly going to be, regardless of the total, the tally at the end of November 3rd, he's going to be filing a lawsuit to disqualify as many of those mail-in ballots. So if these cases go in front of a judge that he has nominated, I think it's pretty clear where their tendency is going to lie, let alone as it goes through the many levels of appeals courts before it eventually gets to the Supreme Court. And by that point, maybe I have moved to Canada.
Well, and it's important to note, and you talked about the, you know, the federal judge situation, like the nominations for Supreme Court are one thing. But in the past 4 years, you know, Mitch McConnell has gotten over 200 conservative federal judges confirmed lifetime
appointments. That's frightening to me. That is absolutely fucking frightening to me.
And the division of this country, I think, is going to continue. I think it's going to get worse after Election Day. I think the only thing we can hope for is an absolute landslide at the polls. Because we talked about the red mirage last year, where it could appear on Election Day that Republicans and Trump are leading, and then as as the mail-in votes are counted, you know, it switches back around. We can't have that happen. We need there to be decisive at the polls. And again, you know, the polls lean towards Biden. I will say the one thing,
not by a lot,
but the one thing I feel encouraged about, at least in Pennsylvania, is, you know, I drive around in my area and some of the counties around here, and I see a significant higher number of Biden signs now than I did Clinton in 2016. Now, that may not have any impact. That could just be a case of people wanting to show their support more than 2016. But, you know, my hope is, you know, the way you win Pennsylvania is you win the suburbs of Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, because Pittsburgh and Philly as cities will always go blue. And central Pennsylvania, the area that we lovingly refer to as Pennsyltucky, is always going to go red. So now,
that area where you call Pennsyltucky, is that the area where it is mostly farmland and unused, abandoned rural lands where vet techs?
I mean, it's a little
to hide so they can build their own miniature personal zoo.
But it's also, you know, it's the Harrisburg, it's the State College, it's the Wilkes-Barre, you know, it's York. I mean, I guess York is really rural. Like, you're really getting out in the sticks there. But you really have to carry the suburbs. And that is how Trump won Pennsylvania in 2016, is he won the suburbs. Yeah. So the hope being is if Biden can carry the counties around Philadelphia and the counties around Pittsburgh, he should carry the state. So that is the one, not the one hope, but it's one of many hopes that I am holding on to.
Right.
As we get closer and closer, we're what, 39 days until the election?
Under 40?
I believe so.
Fuck. I'm not feeling good about this.
No.
I think it's going to this is as bad as I was fearing. It's going to be, I just think it's going to be ugly.
So now RBG is laying in state on the steps outside of the Supreme Court. And Donald and Melania Trump stopped by today to pay their respects. Brian, would you like to hear the crowd's reaction while they were there?
I'm sure that he was welcomed as a hero.
So in addition to booing and Ron, chanting him out, yes.
Do we have permission to play that clip?
I would hope so.
I just saw that pop up in the comments, and now I'm nervous.
I feel it's a low enough quality clip that no algorithm should pick it up. So in addition to the booing, in addition to chanting vote him out, they also chanted at the end, honor her wish, referring, of course, to the note that RBG transcribed to her granddaughter at the end, stating that she wished that her replacement not be named until after the inauguration.
Do you believe that her wish should have any impact on any of this? And you know where I think I'm leading you by the phrase of that. But I don't believe.
I will say this: if we were in a decent society, I would say yes. But obviously, you know, there is no obligation for anybody to. But
why should this one person decide who is going to replace them when they have no say in that? I mean, it's not a matter of, you know, it's not written in the Constitution that Supreme Court justices get to nominate their successors, sure, or at least get to dictate the terms on how their successors are picked.
Listen, it is also not dictated that the Senate Majority Leader gets to decide whether a Supreme Court justice gets to be brought forward for nomination or not in an election year.
Mitch McConnell is a bootlicker.
He is. Listen, there are some tremendously shitty people in the world today, and yet he manages to be top three shitty individuals.
What I find fascinating about him is that he has had so many opportunities to step up and show that he is a human being, but he fails in every opportunity whatsoever. Garbage, just a garbage human being.
What I feel though, I mean, if you want to take kind of a silver lining from this whole situation, you know, what I feel this might do is I think it will very much energize those individuals that maybe were on the fence about whether to vote for Biden or not, or whether to vote at all.
Right.
And now you're dealing with some very realistic, frightening things.
This is true.
Again, we've talked about this over and over again. If you're a person on this planet and you have anyone in your life that is a female, if you have anyone in your life that is a homosexual, if you have anyone in your life that is a transgender, how you can support this current administration and give them four more years is beyond me. Because the goal over the next 4 years will be to strip away the rights that they have fought for however many years. For nothing else than just viciousness.
Right.
As there's no financial gain from it. There's no gain of stature or position in life to deny someone to identify as whatever sex they want to be, to marry whomever they want to marry, to love whoever they want to love. It is literally just done out of viciousness and hate. And I don't know how you support that. If it's just political policy, you know, fiscal responsibility, social programs, things like that. I mean, there are a ton of political stances that we can debate and decide which side we want to be on. But when it comes down to human rights, the treatment of humans, the treatment of children, I don't know how there's an argument for that. And again, you know, Reagan asked the infamous question when he was running against Jimmy Carter, you know, are you any better off than you were 4 years ago? And I would be, you know, unless you're in the top 10%, I don't know how you look around at what is happening right now and say, I'm better off than I was 4 years ago.
Because people are not asking the question of whether how they're doing. What they're doing is they are looking at the people that they don't like,
right,
and are celebrating those people's misery. Well, like you've got lower income white people who are celebrating the suffering of low income black people, low income Hispanics. They are celebrating the suffering of those people because somehow they are the other. When in all honesty, they have more in common with those low income demographics than they do with the wealthy white people.
Right. And a lot of people have said this is, you know, the thing that a lot of people don't understand about Trump's base is that they are less concerned about whether he is doing something that is going to help them, but they are concerned with if he is doing something to hurt people that they don't like.
Right. Yeah. No. It's a very sad, scary state of affairs right now. I don't see it getting better anytime soon.
So, and again, you know, we're
oh, not only that, but that leads to the next problem, which is that today and yesterday, the White House press corps has been pushing Trump on the subject of will he, if he loses the election, will he transfer power to Joe Biden in a nonviolent way? The fact that they're even asking the question of nonviolence scares the shit out of me. And Trump's answer is no, because I can't lose. The only way I can lose is if they steal the election.
Right.
The ballots are a disaster.
He is running the same playbook that he did in 2016. The only difference is he has many more weapons at a federal level available to him than he did back then.
It's fucking scary. It's fucking scary. I may need to start drinking.
I didn't think you you stopped drinking.
No, I took a break for about 5 minutes when we were talking about the NFL.
So also this week, the grand jury in Louisville, Kentucky came back with whether they were going to be charging anyone in the murder of Breonna Taylor. And I guess not all that shockingly, relatively no charges. I mean, two officers got off scot-free. There was an officer I believe is going to be charged because he didn't fire accurately enough. It seems to be.
That didn't make sense to me. He's being charged for missing. I saw that a couple places online, but what is he being charged with?
He's basically, for what it seems like, he is being charged with, kind of like you said, whatchamacallit, he's being charged for improper, wanton endangerment is basically how it comes down to. And so basically he is being charged with the fact that he endangered Breonna Taylor's neighbors in the way that he fired.
Jesus Christ. That is terrible.
So you can, and so again, and you know, I don't want to belabor the point, but you have a situation where a police officer was fired. The city passed a law outlawing the no-knock warrant that was used to break into her home that night.
Yep.
And the city of Louisville paid her family a $12 million settlement to get rid of the wrongful death lawsuit that they brought against right. the city.
Right.
But no one in the police department committed a crime.
No, no crime there. Apparently no crime. Yeah. Or the fact that the person they were looking for was already in jail.
Right. Hours earlier.
Already been arrested.
And the police that arrested him had pushed him into trying to implicate Ms. Taylor in some of the crimes that he was charged with, and he refused to do so. So they basically, again, they get this, at that point, illegal no-knock warrant. They break in, not identifying themselves. Her boyfriend not knowing what's going on. I mean, listen, someone breaks into your house in the middle of the night and you've got a gun. Odds are you're going to pick up that gun. You're going to shoot at him. And yeah. So they just open fire, hitting Breonna Taylor, I believe 7 times, killing her almost instantly.
Fucking sad. And obviously people are upset about this.
Oh yeah. There were two officers shot the other night. I'm seeing reports now that, there are highways in Philadelphia that are being shut down right now with protesters. And again, we go through this. We went through it with the George Floyd case. You know, we go through it every week and this week in racism. And, I posted a picture on our Instagram page earlier today of a chalk drawing that I walked by. When I was coming through through my area, and you know, it was basically for Elijah McClain, another young black man killed by police out in Colorado. And so, you know, if you ever want to be depressed, go into Instagram and just start typing hashtag #justice4, and you see all of the names of the people that they have had to make that hashtag for. That have been police.
I started a hashtag justice for my $900 a year ago.
It's depressing. Like you have to thumb through and be like, all right, all of these.
That was not $900 that I had that I could afford to part with. There needed to be.
I feel like my sadness made you uncomfortable in your own skin, and you had to bring levity into the situation.
I thought you were about to cry.
It was close.
Yeah, and I was just like, I've got to dive on this grenade. But speaking of which, really, I would appreciate that $900 back. I don't believe that I got $900 worth of lap dances that night. I don't even know that it's possible.
Buy some alcohol and tips included in that as well.
No. All the drinks I paid for with my credit card.
But I mean, where do we go from here, Brian?
Do you want to matter
and what goes on in this country? I mean, if I'm a black person in this country, how do I feel that I'm represented in any way, shape, or form at any level of government?
You vote blue. You go out and you vote for a party that will support you slightly better than the other party. That's what you do.
And you do.
You burn the fucking place down. You literally show up to diners eating in outdoor restaurants and you trash their tables. That's what you do.
Listen, and I, you know what,
you go to Trader Joe's and you buy the frozen spinach pie and you buy a second one and you take it home.
But why would you do that?
I don't know. I was just trying. I'm trying to put a smile on your face because your sadness is hurting me.
And voting, and I kind of meant to bring this up when we were talking about the protest voting and whatnot. You know, if you want to support a third party or a fourth party or whatever, the best way to start that is at a local level, is at your local government or at a state level. You're not going, like, everyone's like, oh, well, we'll just vote for a third party candidate for president, and they'll just have to allow a third party. As much as that would be nice to believe, it needs to really be something that happens from the ground up, where if you get enough Green Party or independent or whatever people elected on a local level and then a state level, then eventually it moves its way up. And it's not going to be an easy solution. Everybody wants the easy fix. And there is no easy fix. And it gets harder and harder every day. And the more that we let bad people run our government, the harder it gets to fix things.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
Plain and simple.
So, right. Ron, what are you watching?
What am I watching? I finally caught up on The Boys on Amazon Prime. Five episodes in this season so far. I'm telling you, I think you would like The Boys, Brian. Again,
The Boys.
So it is based on a graphic novel. It is about a world where superheroes exist. But the superheroes...
Oh, I remember this. I remember you watching season one.
Yeah. And they said they were going to amp up the violence and blood and gore in season two. And they have most certainly done that.
Okay.
Like in the last episode, literally watched a guy get his face ripped off from side to side.
Okay. Was it gory?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now it's, again, yeah,
it's the show good. Like, I'm not looking for gore. I'm looking for entertaining.
It's a good show.
Okay.
I like
it. I'm behind you. I'm still watching The Challenger.
Are you keeping up with The Vow still?
No. I'm waiting for that show to be, I want to binge watch it all at once.
Fair enough.
I don't like this 1 week at a time crap. It just does not feed into my short attention span. But I've also been reading a lot. As I mentioned earlier, I'm working on the new Bob Woodward book. So a lot of times I like to, after my constitution, I'd like to go inside to my room, put on my smoking jacket, sit on my chair, cozy up with a hot toddy. And I like to drink while I read my book.
Very nice.
You know, I feel like television really, it's a lot of fluff. It's not really feeding my brain, whereas the written word stimulates all seven senses.
You sound very bougie when you say that.
Maybe I have bottles of oil in my kitchen that are appropriately labeled. I don't know. Maybe I don't. Maybe I do.
And there were people who agreed with you that I'm very bougie for having multiple oils, but you know, you deal with different smoke points, Brian, and that's why you deal with different oils. And you get have you ever had an infused olive oil, Brian?
An infused olive oil,
garlic olive oil, for example.
No,
or
no, I've had
herb olive oil.
No.
Well, I don't know what to tell you, Brian.
Okay. See, this is where you're fucking bougie. Is a garlic infused olive oil, how is that any different than olive oil that I'm going to cook with garlic in? What's the fucking difference?
It can be a little bit more intense. Another good question.
Just put more garlic in.
Not to throw shots at you, but a good question from Billy. Do books stimulate Brian as much as his fleshlight does? Valid question. And one that I would like to hear your answer from.
Yeah, just in a different way.
Okay.
I like learning. I like the use of my mind. I also like the feel of a properly lubricated fleshlight.
Fair enough. What does an improperly lubricated fleshlight feel like?
It hurts.
Have you had that experience?
No, I have not. I don't even want to.
Is this true, Brian? I'm hearing this is another comment here that Brian didn't even know about burnt broccoli until 2 months ago.
I had no idea what burnt broccoli was. Now I do, and it's fucking delicious.
Exactly. So are
fucking
you
fucking delicious?
So you're going to mock my oil selection, even though you admit that burnt broccoli is delicious.
I tried it. Now what I'm saying to you is, I don't understand the difference between garlic infused olive oil and olive oil with a lot of garlic.
Okay. Listen, I can't educate you. Maybe we'll try and get like a cook on or a chef. Maybe Guy Fieri can come on and talk about, you know, oils.
If only there was some type of great chef's event that you and I could attend where we could be speaking to true chefs who could sit there and explain to me the real difference from their perspective. And I'm sure it's something which wouldn't cost a lot of money out of my pocket.
Well, we weren't able to do that this year thanks to COVID, but
maybe you fucker. I'm out $150 because of that.
What, you didn't ask to take money back from the kids with cancer?
No, I didn't. Okay. Do you want to tell the story?
So we have an organization here in the Philadelphia area called Alex's Lemonade Stand. If I tell the story of Alex, I will probably start crying again. But
definitely tell the story. Definitely tell the story.
A young child who was impacted by cancer and who would hold lemonade stands at her house to raise money for research. And her parents and her memory created this foundation. So they do every June a great chef's event where they gather a lot of the chefs you see on Food Network, Chopped, and everything else. Great event. We had tickets for this June, which were unfortunately canceled due to COVID. So they sent out an email recently being like, oh, we're going to try this again next year. So let us know if you want a refund or if we can carry it over to next year. And obviously, you're not going to be that schmuck that's like, I want my money back. I don't care about the kids with cancer.
Okay, you're leaving out one very important detail.
Well, then fill me in.
Is that you and your wife didn't buy tickets this year?
Well, we in essence, we did. We won a silent auction the year before for a couple of tickets, but we still dropped a couple hundred bucks on the silent auction.
You donated money for a silent auction. You happen to have won it. You could have lost it.
Very true. Very true.
So you reached out to me this year and said, hey, there's this event that we will be attending as a couple. Would you like to join us? It only costs $150. And I sat there, I was like, whoa, I was just at the strip club last night. I am not flush with cash like I used to be.
For that.
So you shamed me into purchasing a ticket to this event. It gets postponed due to COVID. And this week they offer you three options, not two. Do you want a full refund of your money, which is basically fuck Alex, fuck her cancer, and I am not a fan of charity. Do you want to forward the ticket to next year's event as if COVID's going to be beaten and we'll be able to hang out in public together? Or the third one, this is the one that burned me. Do you just want to consider your $150 ticket price that you purchased a full out donation towards the charity?
And which did you decide?
I didn't want to get my money back because that made me look cheap. I didn't want to just flat out donate the money because that really wasn't my purchase. So I moved it to next year's event.
Yeah, there you go.
Which will most likely also be canceled.
Nothing lost, nothing gained. To go back real quick, Brian. Apparently, you had garlic bread with infused olive oil a couple of New Year's ago, which you loved.
Oh yeah, I did. But I did not realize it was infused olive oil.
Well,
I'm always learning. I'm always improving. This isn't a finished product here. This is a work in progress.
Yeah. It's a beautiful work, my friend. Anything else this week before we go to get ready for After Dark?
Would you like to answer the internet?
Yeah, I'll answer the internet. Why not?
Are you ready?
I'm as ready as I'm going to be.
And the feedback from the fans was that they enjoyed this segment that we seem to be introducing.
Well, then
are you all right with it?
Yes.
All right. Would you rather lack empathy and be rich or have a lot of empathy and be poor?
And I guess really at the end of the day, you know, not have empathy and be rich, because at that point you just don't care.
Wow. You are a flaming asshole.
That's just the way our society is these days, Brian.
All right. I thought based on everything you've said for the past hour, I would have thought you would have liked to add a lot of empathy and be poor. You're the same person that started crying when you were talking about Justice Four, but then you're like, nah, really, I'd rather lack empathy.
Well, and you shamed me for having emotion, Brian. So clearly, if I'm not empathetic, then I don't have emotion anymore. And therefore, you don't need to shame me.
If you feel that I in any way could have shamed you, when in true reality, it is the fact that I am uncomfortable with somebody close to me showing emotion.
I mean, I would argue that I don't feel that there is anything that I shame you about ever. So it hurt a little bit.
Second question. Okay. You can have sex with one living person, but they die immediately after you finish. So it's one person that is alive on this planet
today.
You get to have sex with them. And as soon as you are finished, i.e.
Right.
They die.
I mean, honestly.
Who is it? Who is the person?
I got to take one for the team and fuck Donald Trump.
Fuck Donald Trump. All right. Good answer. Good answer.
Did I recover from my last one?
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
All right, so let's get ready for a little Ron and Brian After Dark. As always, if you would like to join the After Dark fun, go to ronandbrianpodcast.com, become a Patreon subscriber. Up in the right-hand corner, just click the button that says become a patron. You join at the $10 level or higher, and then boom, you're in. So we'll see you over there in about 19 minutes. We'll refresh our beverages. We'll get over there. We've got some interesting stories. We've got a guy that's suing Starbucks because he burned his genitals so much, so it makes sex painful. Shot himself in the groin, showing off his handgun. We got a lot of groin involved stories this week,
and that's why it's After Dark. So, if you are not a subscriber to After Dark, go to our Patreon, which is the Ron and Brian Podcast at patreon.com/theRonandBrianPodcast. We have several layers of membership you can join. We've got the aluminum at $5, bronze at $10, silver for $25. We also have other levels. It goes a little bit higher for those people who are true fans of the podcast. All the way up through the diamond, which is $150 per month. You also have gold and platinum. These are for, you can pick up some Ron and Brian swag at each level as you ascend. The important thing is that for the bronze or higher, that is $10 a month or more, you get access to a link every Thursday night where you can watch the live stream of After Dark. It's a special moment. And one of the things I'd like to mention to you, I don't know if now's the time to do it, but one of the things we did a couple of weeks ago was we had some of our subscribers, our loyal fans, our friends, our amigos, do I dare say our family, on the show. I think we're due for another one.
Yeah, we'll have that coming up in the next week or two.
Why don't we do that next week or so?
Yeah, we can do that. Good. All right. Well, let's roll on out of here. We'll wrap this up here. We'll catch those of you that are Patreon subscribers on the After Dark. Brian, as always, thank you for being here, my friend. Love you, my buddy.
Love you more.